Utkalika Valari is the last work of Srila Rupa Goswami, which he wrote in his mature old age, when his heart was becoming overwhelmed with divine aspirations. And he left this work for the sadhakas in this world, because we as sadhakas also need to have divine aspirations. In these lectures, we said that sadhana produces a certain energy, but that is not enough. If you have energy, you can use it for different purposes. The sadhana must always be connected with a goal of the practice. And you must think of this goal while you are doing your spiritual practice. Otherwise, you may practice and practice, but never get anywhere. You might even go in circles and keep your material attachments alive to this world and so on. If you don't have a transcendental orientation and goal, you will not most probably reach your goal. See, we all have a misfortune. We have been informed about Radha and Krishna and their transcendental pastimes on the spiritual platform, but we are not absorbed in their in their pastimes and in their reality. But instead, we remain absorbed in the body. And this is something like Prabhupada described. We are making efforts in our sadhana, but we keep the anchor to the material world still buried in the ground. It's like, almost like rowing a boat, but not lifting the anchor. This is a problem. So, this anchor is our previous intoxication with material life, our attachments, our sanskaras, old desires, and so on. For this to stop one day, we have to learn to develop high aspirations. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur gives us an example what these high expectations and aspirations are. He says, when will I live in Vrindavan and worry only about the service of Radha and Krishna in my heart? The only thing which I carry in my heart will be, what service do I do for Radha and Krishna? This question. When will I live in Vrindavan? And when will my heart be immersed in love for Radha and Krishna? When will I practice pure renunciation? When will I bathe in the tears of love which stream down my face? This is how you can live in Vrindavan, not absorbed in material consciousness and worries and insecurities and plans, but absorbed in only one idea. What service will I do for Radha and Krishna? How can I be immersed in love for them? How can I practice pure renunciation? And how will my faith be bathed with tears of love? This is high aspirations. This is a high goal. This is properly doing sadhana in Vrindavan. So, how do we come to this level? Narottam Das Thakur gives us a tip. He says, know that sense objects are only a disturbance in your life. I very much like this with Badri Vishal. When I was lying in Badrika Ashram in my comfortable bed with three heavy quilts like this, Badri Vishal was lying first in the bed, first night, but then he said, I asked him, how did you sleep? He said, terrible. Then I said, how can you rest properly? And he says, Maharaj, when I sleep in a bed, I get bad dreams and I get a bad reaction. Let me sleep on the floor. So he slept as a renounced sadhu on the cold floor. I marked it. And you were very nicely situated with that opulence of renunciation. So in Vrindavan and in any holy place, you have to learn to do some renunciation. It's good that we live in a situation where there is not always water, where the light sometimes... Well, our light is so far, it's been working incredibly, I mean, due to Ananda Chaitanya's technical monitoring the batteries there. I think he preaches to our batteries each day. They work very well and so on. So, but the renunciation is important so that the intoxication fever goes down. So for this, because we sometimes are not willing to drink from the cup of renunciation, you must know that sense objects are a disturbance in your life. You must know that your material existence is only a dream for a few days. Narottam Das says, and you must know that the human life is a gift for only one thing, to perform bhajan. I was thinking about this when we did our parikrama. I thought, well, that's so nice, I have a human body which can go down. You know, it's very good, it's a first class vehicle for bhajan. Or I can sit here on my cushion and I can just switch off everything and do bhajan. Bhajan means a search for Radha and Krishna. This is the human body is a unique gift for that. It's not meant for something else. Don't try to use a violin to hammer a nail into the wall. In other words, don't try to use the human form of life for anything else than bhajan. It is meant to play the melody of bhajan. This is what Narottam Das Thakur gives us as a tip so that we don't continue our absent-mindedness. Know that sense objects are a hazard. I don't really know what is a hazard. What is that English word? Do you know?
It's
a danger. Material existence is a dream, and your human form of life is the first class facility for bhajan. Always worship the Lord with loving attachment. Speak about his pastimes in a loving mood. Everything else is a spear in the heart. Have you ever had a spear in the heart? It must be terrible, you know, to have a spear in the heart. You know, spear, the javelin. And this is what Narottam Das Thakur says. He should be a little skeptical about the material life. So, the verse which I will read to you is a wonderful meditation. And I would like to introduce you a little bit to meditation in Krishna consciousness. When your meditation about Krishna becomes so pointed and foreign thoughts stop, then your meditation develops into a direct perception of Radha Krishna. This is what Ramanujacharya says. When your meditation becomes pointed and foreign thoughts stop, these strange material thoughts stop, then all of a sudden through your meditation you will perceive directly the spiritual pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This meditation is good. It's called the very force of the mind, the very life force. Your mind is dead when you think of material things, and your mind is alive when you think of Krishna. Do you agree?
Yes.
Huh? Narottamdas Thakur says meditation about Krishna is the life of the mind. Muslim. Go. Vishvakarma. Go Vishaya Vishvakarma. So here is, how do Vaishnavas meditate about Radha Krishna? First, they must meditate about Vrindavan. So, Radha and Krishna walk at the bank of the Yamuna. A very cooling breeze blows, which comes from the Malayan hills. In the Malayan hills, there we find sandalwood. So it has a cooling sandalwood breeze. This Malayan breeze carries little drops of water from the Yamuna, which cool the bodies of the divine couple. All the directions are filled with flowers in full blossom. You see, everywhere, champak, malati, jasmine flowers. Very good fragrance. The birds are chirping. You see in this meditation, all the five senses are involved. The breeze cools you. You smell the beautiful flowers. You hear the birds and the bumblebees. Everywhere the sound is to be heard. The branches of the tree bend low, offering their fruits and flowers to Krishna. We hear from Bhagavata. So you see, the forest of Vrindavan is not a static forest, but an ecstatic, seva-filled forest. You know? Everything moves. The branches go down. They are living trees and so on. On the Yamuna, you hear swans and cranes and goose who are making their pleasant noises on the Yamuna, and you see that the trees are so ecstatic in Vrindavan. I can see it directly. They have shoots which look like goose pimples. Again, the heart. Shoots, so, wie sagt man das? Sprösslinge. And from some of the trees, honey drops, which are the tears of love for Radha and Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are surrounded by Vishakha and Chitra Devis and all the other Sakis. Some sprinkle musk and aguru scented water before them. Some offer a shower of flowers. It's very interesting. Radha and Krishna walk, and then there are little manjaris, they offer flowers, and the flowers land can provide a suitable carpet for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. In this way, Radha and Krishna are walking down the path of the Jamuna. There is a sweet tinkling of ankle bells as they walk. This is very sweet. And the banks of the Yamuna, this is how we meditate, are filled with a divine splendor, a yellow splendor which comes from Radha, and a bluish splendor which comes from Krishna. This is how Vaishnavas, since time immemorial, meditate about Radha and Krishna. They provide first the right atmosphere in their heart, because meditation means you have to invite the Lord in your heart. And if you don't provide the right atmosphere, you know, that's not good. If you invite a guest, I know when we visit Angini and Ananda Chaitanya, it's always first class, clean, and orderly, and everything is at the right spot, even in the bathroom. You know, because this is how you greet guests. You create an atmosphere in which they feel well and protected and happy and positive and so on. So Radha and Krishna never leaves the forest of Vrindavan. If you don't have Vrindavan forest in your heart, they will not come there. In other yoga access, yoga things which I have learned, and I, a few years ago I went through all these practices, you put in your heart first the sun and the moon, and then fire to burn everything else away. And then you let the face of Vishnu appear. But a devotee Vaishnava would feel, you know, a Braj Bhakta, my Krishna will burn himself like this when we meditate about these fiery elements which burn away contamination. Krishna must is very tender. He comes with Radha. I can't just invite them to a fire. I have to invite them to the forest of Vrindavan. So you go through the elements. You see the Yamuna, you see the breeze blowing, you see in your mind's eye the trees with the flowers, the vines, and you smell the fragrance. You imagine how they move, offering their gifts to Krishna, and you hear the sound of the birds and the bees, and in this way, then you see Radha and Krishna with a bluish and golden splendor walking down the Yamuna. The Padma Purana says it has been heard in the old days that anyone who meditates on the divine person Achyuta or remembers him will attain Achyuta's abode. And Sanatana Goswami comments, meditation means to think deeply about the beauty of the Lord from the soles of his lotus feet up to the crown of his hair. This is how you do things. If I would give a seminar, I would now ask you all to sit and meditate. But I'm giving a lecture here, and this is somewhere somewhat different. But now comes the verse which I wanted to read to you. And I request you to hear this verse in a meditative mood. The way you do it is you bring your mind into the Vrindavan atmosphere. Kadabhyavasara sa meking ubhavishyati swamino Jano yamanu ragata prituniyatra kunjodare Tvaya sahata valike vividavana gandadravais Chiram virascayasyati prakata patra valishiyam. O prince and princess, see Krishna and Sri Radha. Will that fortunate moment ever be mine when I beautify you by painting designs on your foreheads with colorful and fragrant pigments in the Nikunja? Rupa Goswami sees in his mind the scene, Radha and Krishna walking along the bank of the Jamuna in the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. They come to the Nikunja, a flower house, a forest house, and there they enter the inside of this flower or bower house to engage in loving pastimes. And as they engage in loving pastime, their decorations become disarrayed, and the beautiful ornaments on their faces become smeared. And these ornaments on the faces are drawn with the colors of Vrindavan. So, after some time, Radharani will call Sri Rupa Manjari and say, and Rupa Manjari will say to Radhika, O Swamini, O my mistress, when will this maid servant use colorful and fragrant dyes to paint artistic designs on your shining forehead and on Krishna's forehead also? So what this means is rather Krishna are decorated with a paste which is called Chatusama. These are four things: musk, sandalwood, pulp, camphor, and kumkum. And then these fragrant things, musk, sandalwood, pulp, camphor, kumkum, are colored and mixed with the different dyes of Vrindavan. You know, Vrindavan under the earth has these different pigments, yellow colors, blue colors, red and white. So this fragrant paste is then put together with these pigments into four different containers: the yellow, the blue, and the red, and the musk. And Rupa Goswami then takes the left hand and holds the chin of Srimati Radharani, and then takes a fine brush and makes leaf picture ornaments on the cheeks and on the forehead, like you can see sometimes in our paintings or photos of the deities, Radha Sunda. They have these different leaf ornaments, sometimes around the eyes also, on the forehead. In Giriraj, you can see Girirajas are painted like this. So in this way, Rupa Goswami meditates about this. When will I be so fortunate to be called to decorate you? This reminds us, when we were in Puri, there was this pujari who every day with an open curtain kneeled before Gopinath and then paint these wonderful decorations on Gopinath's face. That was very nice. Or reminded me of Kupcha. Kupcha, who brought these different colored pastes for Kamsa, saw Krishna on the royal road in Mathura, and she immediately became attracted to Krishna, and Krishna asked her to apply these different pastes to his transcendental body. So Kupcha also lovingly decorated the face and the chest of Krishna with these. Krishna was so satisfied, he then took his two index finger on her cheek, and gave her a jerk so that the hunchback disappeared. Transcendental surgery was all disappearing. So just imagine this, kneeling before Krishna, and Krishna looking and painting the different leaf ornaments. What a wonderful meditation. And Srila Rupa Goswami is hinting this. O Prince and Princess, Sri Krishna and Sri Radha, will that fortunate moment ever be mine when I beautify you by painting designs on your foreheads with colorful and fragrant pigments? In the Nikunja, will this ever happen? Once there was a blind artist, a blind Baba. He lived in opposite to Man Mandir, and where you find more Kutia, and he liked to meditate each day about the pastime which took place in Mokoti. Maybe you have heard that Radharani went to Mangar, because Krishna had broken her butter pots and yogurt pots when he demanded a tax in Sakarikor. Radha had said, on what strength do you demand a tax for us? And Krishna had said, I'm the owner of this forest of Vrindavan. Then everyone knows in the Shruti, it says, this is Krishnavan, the forest of Krishna. And then the Sakhi said, no, you don't know Sanskrit. Krishnavan simply means it's a dark forest. It doesn't mean it's your forest. And in the Puranas, it is said, this is the Radhavan. And they made Krishna speechless, so that finally Krishna took the text by force. He just cracked the yogurt pots, and this was too much for Radha, and she decided to never see any Krishna again, and went to Mandir and divested herself of all black cloth, and she just made the decision to never see Krishna again. And Krishna came very humbly up to Mangar. He was trying different disguises, but he was always sent away. So then finally he went to the opposite hill. It's called Morkuti, and he took the form of a peacock and danced there. And Lalita saw the dancing peacock. She understood who that was and said to Radha, "Not the peacock is dancing so nicely. Would you not like to come there and see it from close by, Radha came, and then the peacock started to behave very ecstatically. Shivat. And all of a sudden the peacock put his head down before the lotus feet of Sri Radha, and then Radha knew who the peacock was. And then she also took on the decoration of a peacock and started to dance with Radha and Krishna. So this Baba, 100 years ago, meditated about this pastime. He was blind, so blind. And then one day, Radharani appeared before him and said, "You are always meditating about this pastime. I want you to do a seva. I want you to paint this pastime. I will therefore first give you darshan of this pastime." And she, you know, we heard when you meditate properly, you can absolutely see the spiritual reality. So he had the full darshan of this pastime. He saw Radha and Krishna, and he was so absolutely enchanted and mesmerized. And then Radha said, "Now I wish you to paint." And Baba said, "Painting? I'm blind and I have never painted." Radha said, "You please try to paint and I will direct you." "And where will we have the colors?" said the Baba. "Just dig a little in the ground and there you will find these pigments." Pigmente, sagt man in Deutsch. It's a, you know, under some earth has different colors. So he did so, and then he eventually got painting a brush, and he produced a beautiful painting, which I believe one can see if one gives 2 rupees donations. So this is very easily available. And one can see this painting, which was painted by the hand of the blind Baba, but the guided hand. So this is, we hope that one day we are so blind, so terribly blind, we go with closed eyes through Vrindavan, but one day we pray that we can pray like this, "Oh, when will you call me and ask me to make these leaf ornaments on you?" This Rupa Goswami's poetry. So because we had some interruption today, I will not talk about the next verse, but only about this one verse. But I hope you are paying close attention to it, and you are trying in your own spiritual practice to also apply these things. When you chant, you should think of the person whose name you chant. You should make such a connection and chant lovingly. Disconnect from the world of your worries and your insecurities and your attachments. Just practice this pure remembrance of Krishna's pastimes. We have now 10 more days of the month of Kartik. Is this correct? 10 more. It's almost gone. What happened? It was so fast. We just arrived here. And now let us increase our spiritual practice. Let us be grateful to what we have learned and receive from Rupa Goswami and from the other acharyas. And let us put now Utkalika Valari to rest. If Mahaprabhu wants, tomorrow we will wake up the book again and we will read the following verse with the following meditation.